Let's open with hymn number 127. And of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Behold, the Lord, the ruler, hath come, and the children and the power, and the kingdom and the power and the glory are in his hand. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. Heavenly Father, who hast given us the light of thy holy word, the guiding star which leadeth us to the Christ child. Send, we beseech thee, thy Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive this light and make use of it unto our salvation. And that we, like the wise men, when they were seeking the star, may not be afraid because of any hardship or peril, but put all our trust in thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, as our only Savior. Devote our earthly possessions to the advancement of thy kingdom, and in all things serve him, thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson is found in the second chapter of Isaiah, the second through the fifth verse. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 6th verse. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Here ends the epistle. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Arise, shine, O Jerusalem, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have seen his star in the east, and are come with gifts to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel for this day is found in the 2nd chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 12th verse. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. When Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold the star which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream, that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Here ends the Gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and of all things visible and invisible.
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures
and ascended into heaven
and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 129. God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the second chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 12th verse. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let these words enlighten us with the knowledge that thy Son, Jesus Christ, is a Savior for every nation and every people. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, before us this night is a wonder. In all of the scriptures, God sent prophets to the Gentile nations, declaring them, telling them of his law and will. But here on this night, at least one Gentile nation sent prophets to Israel. The prophets of Israel were the wisest men in all the world. For that which they learned and thought did not arise out of the idle speculation of their hearts, but from God himself, whose word is always true, who knows all things, and who never speculates. But today we have a thing without precedent in the scriptures. The Gentile prophets come to Israel, asking the Jews, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? There was Herod with his many advisors. At his beck and call were the chief priests and scribes of the people. Imagine the effect of this pronunciation upon them. Herod had received no warning from his own sages and advisors and was completely taken by surprise when the wise men appeared. As for the chief priests and scribes, they had received no revelation from God. No angel had appeared to them and declared that Christ was born. Their careful study of the law and the prophets had not prepared them for the greatest epiphany of all, the appearance of God's own Son in human flesh, the Son of David and King of Israel. Instead, they first hear word that Christ is born from Eastern sages, prophets from another land. How embarrassing that Gentiles would preempt their monopoly on the truth and tell Herod something that they could not. I call these Eastern sages prophets in the loose sense of the word, for it is not that God had specifically sent them to declare Christ to the Jews, but they did this nevertheless. Nor was it outside their calling to declare the truth, for they were learned men with the official responsibility to impart knowledge. Mages were a scholarly class. Their life's work was to study all things in nature, and they especially studied the heavens. True, many of their class were also involved in sorcery and in other magical arts which are of the devil, but that does not mean that all of them were. Just because Satan corrupts the streams of knowledge does not mean that the knowledge itself is false. He has certainly done so in our schools today, who do not pursue magical arts, but only rational arts and sciences, and yet they apply their craft to denying the Lord his place as creator. And so in spite of this, science remains a worthwhile study which reveals the wonderful works of God. In the days of the Babylonian captivity, the four Israelite children, Daniel, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah, were also taught the arts of Babylon and made into wise men for the king. And yet they remained free of the occult corruption which infected their own teachers and fellow sages. Therefore, do not judge the wise men from the East by the corruptions which the devil introduced into their art. Instead, judge them by their regard for the one who drew them from their home country to Jerusalem to worship him who was born king of the Jews. We do not know how many wise men came seeking Christ. We do not know their names. We do not know even where they came from or what school of wisdom that they had studied. We know only that they learned from some source that Christ must now be born King of the Jews. We know their knowledge of Christ went far beyond the fact that a mere king of a small nation had been born, for they did not regard him as any mere king. He was a king beyond kings. Think of the nation to which they traveled, Israel, a small backwater country of no note at all. They were now small and powerless. They caused Rome nothing but trouble. They were an oppressed people. They had no kingship of their own anymore. And yet when the stars announced the birth of the King of the Jews, the wise men know that this is not just a king, but a king great enough to make an arduous journey and bring costly gifts and to bow down to him while he is yet a babe, and to worship him. Whatever they thought of this newborn king, they thought of him as much more than a king. And that Bethlehem was not overrun with wise men from all over the world tells us that these men were unique, perhaps even heretics as far as their fellow mages were concerned. For there were many schools of knowledge in the world. There were many so-called wise men. In Egypt, there was in those days the great city of Alexandria, the greatest school of learning the world has ever known, and yet there are no wise men coming from the south. Every culture of the world studied the stars and had their priests and astrologers, but only these wise men from the east came seeking Christ. That they were few and not many in number shows that their knowledge was not common knowledge that one might gain from their studies of nature, but was educated from the only source that could have revealed to them, by God himself. Perhaps some knowledge had been passed down to them by special revelation. Perhaps they were from Babylon, and some word that Daniel prophesied was known to them. Perhaps God had told them in a dream, even as he had warned them later, not to return to Jerusalem, but to depart to their own home country another way. We do not know. And we can leave that to learn in heaven. For it is enough for us to know that outside of Israel, there were men who were wise enough to count this particular birth among all the kingly births in the world, so great as to come from far, bringing gifts and worshiping the child. Well then, if the wise men knew of the birth of the King of the Jews, why did they not just go straight to Bethlehem? Why did they come to Jerusalem? It is because whatever limited knowledge they had was not enough to lead them to Christ. And therefore, when they came to Jerusalem, God so ordained it that they should learn the saving knowledge of Christ, not through the stars, but through his word. And therefore, Herod called the chief priests and scribes and asked them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" For it is very evident from that that Herod knew that this was the Christ of whom the wise men speak, and therefore they surely knew it as well. The word of God now instructed these wise men in the nature of this child who would come, and the priests and the prophets relayed the information through Herod, which the prophet had spoken, which we heard in our lesson this evening. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Whatever the wise men knew before, now they learned of the person of Christ from God's own word And we can be sure that they heard also the rest of that verse in Micah 5:2, which continued, "Whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." A unique king indeed. One who has been born and yet who is from everlasting. Imagine how much joy the wise men must have had to hear the confirmation from the mouth of the established authorities in Jerusalem, the priests and scribes themselves, that their journey had not been in vain. Yet when the sign in the heavens continued to go before them, to that very city which the scriptures had revealed would be the place where Christ should be born, their joy was exceedingly great. And now that they knew that this child was no mere man, but God's promised Christ, how much greater was their joy to greet the child with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The coming of the wise men tells us that the course which God had ordained for the world was about to take an unforeseen direction. Unforeseen to men only because they did not learn from the scriptures and the prophets of God what they had long ago declared, that the Gentiles would come to the light of God's anointed, His Christ. And the manner in which they would come was likewise a surprise. For they did not arrive as second-class citizens coming to the Jews to be instructed. Rather, they came instructing the Jews concerning things they should already have known from their own scriptures. And so remarkably, it was Gentiles who first preached the gospel to the chief priests and scribes of the Jews. And so it is that the scriptures were fulfilled. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you, and Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. All those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Frankincense and myrrh are, by the way, incense. If only we knew where Sheba was, but we do not. At the birth of Jesus, though, an important change did indeed take place. A most significant event in the positional relationship between Jews and Gentiles, and between God and all mankind. Christ had now been born. And because Christ was born, the wall that separated the Jew from the Gentile had no further purpose. Indeed, the very things which gave the Jews their identity as a people, the law, circumcision, the temple, all were given for this purpose, that through them God might bring Jesus, His Son, into the world. The birth of Jesus all by itself is tremendous news for every people of every nation. And it is no coincidence then that shortly after the Son of God is born, the wise men appear. Their coming signaled that the promise which God had made, that all men are made equal in Christ Jesus, was now fulfilled. There is now no difference between Jew or Greek, slave or free, rich or poor, male or female, for in Jesus Christ all are equally redeemed by His blood, and all may by faith receive the adoption of the children of God. In the world, those distinctions will always remain and have their purpose. The wise men who came to worship Christ remained Gentiles. The Jews remained Jews. Men remained men and women remained women. And each person continued and continues to serve in the roles that God has ordained for them. And yet as citizens of Zion, the Jerusalem which is above, and the children of God, we are now all one with the same Spirit and the same Lord Jesus Christ. And the Star of Bethlehem continues to shine among us to this day. For we Gentiles have been especially blessed to learn of our Savior through a greater light than the star which the wise men saw. For we have the witness of the apostles and the prophets. Indeed, the heavens do declare the glory of God. And our star is no mere light in the sky. Though we cannot help but remember the wonderful wisdom of Him who created all things in this grand universe for our benefit. No, our star is Jesus Christ Himself, the morning star who continues to shine into our heart through the preaching of His Word. This is a more glorious star indeed than all the host of heaven, for in Him we find our place as the children of God. And as the wise men from the east were not offended by the lowly form of this great King, but bowed down before Him and gave Him their gifts, may we also find in the child born in Bethlehem all that the wisdom of men could not find. That God has provided for all the world a Savior who is Christ the Lord. May we therefore bring to Him our gifts of thanksgiving and praise, and lift up our hearts in exceeding great joy for this wonderful child, in whose small form the wise find a great and mighty King, who grants unto them the greatest gifts of all, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O eternal God and Father, who hast revealed thy Son as the only Savior from sin, and called us to the blessed knowledge of salvation, we thank thee that thou hast hitherto preserved thy truth among us, despite all the wiles and assaults of the wicked one. We beseech thee, keep us evermore in purity of doctrine, and send forth thy word among men, accompanying it with the effectual working of thy Holy Spirit, that we may be brought to know thy Son and to obtain the inheritance of everlasting life. Almighty and most merciful God, who didst in the beginning create the light, and in the fullness of the time didst give thine only begotten Son to be unto the end of the world the true light of men, we beseech thee so to illumine our hearts with the beams of thy grace, that we may walk in thy light as children of light, and be made partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn number 134. Thank you. be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him, being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn 564.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.